Australian Cybersecurity Centre Threat Report has been released. This is a document that has been put together by a stack of Australian security agencies working together, people like the Australian Federal Police, the Australian Security Intelligence Organisation, the Australian Crime Commission, the Computer Emergency Response Team, and a handful of others come together to release this document. They've suggested that the cost of rising incidents of cyber threat in Australia is costing more than $1 billion annually, and that's a number that is on the rise. If you want to get a sense of, well, how many attacks are we talking about, there's some data included in the report on that too, leaping from 313 in 2011 to 1,131 in 2014. The Computer Emergency Response Team says they responded to over 11,000 threats to business in 2014. Incidents on the rise, or are we just getting better at reporting it? Our IT commentator, Stilgherrian, has been writing extensively on this report. Stilgherrian, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Will.
Are we suffering more attacks, as it were, or are we just identifying them better and directing them to the right agencies now?
Well, I think the good news is that it's a bit of both. Certainly, by other measures around the world, we're seeing more attacks simply because there's just more people out there to do the attacking and there's more people to attack, so it's the natural growth of the internet, but also because organised crime has been getting more organised. The nation-state actors, by which we mean foreign spies, you know, they're getting better organised as well. But the good side is we're getting much better at the defences. So the figures you quoted before about the number of attacks, you know, there was 300 and something a couple of years ago, and it was over 1,000 just in the previous year, in 2014. They're the kind of incidents that were significant enough that the Australian Signals Directorate, our equivalent to the NSA, you know, would actually get involved and start trying to figure out what's going on. But there's some other charts which aren't in this report, but which the ASD did make public a few weeks ago, which showed the number of actual intrusions into government networks leased had dramatically plummeted over the last 2 to 3 years, simply because they massively changed the way they dealt with them. They, like one of their guys went, hang on, we keep seeing the same problems, the same faults, the same mistakes that organisations make again and again and again. Let's crunch the numbers. And they isolated it down to four things, and if an organisation did those four things, then 85% of their problems went away. And they said, look, don't even bother about anything else. Just concentrate on these four things first. And that's now mandatory for Australian government systems. And that was the magic thing. And even the Americans the other year, or the American government gave Australia their National Cybersecurity Innovation Award for saying not just that you came up with the numbers, but you said, yeah, just the first four and then a gap. Forget about the rest. And I had one of their people tell me that was the gutsy thing Australia did. They put a gap after the first four and said, yeah, don't worry about all that. I know people will say, you know, get concerned about doing this and doing that. No, these first four things. Let's get our act together.
Well, you know, I'm interested in actually the relationship of whose responsibility it is to be the line of defence against cyber attacks. Because, you know what, if it's a physical attack, the federal government has an army to handle that. That sounds like by virtue of a report like this targeted educating business leaders, the expectation is private industry takes responsibility for their own defence and invests in or at least seeks it out. So whose responsibility should it be?
At least be aware of it. And see, here's the thing. I think you've raised an important point. In the physical world, it's pretty clear. If someone comes over the horizon with a warship, you know, that's the Navy's job. It's clearly a military threat, right? If someone is smuggling drugs in through an airport, that's clearly a policing matter. But this cyber stuff, it kind of blurs out because something like the National Communications Network is used by everyone. And those optical fibers across the desert between the cities, they're used by government, by military, by you and me, you know, for everything from an ordinary phone call to grandma to the bank transferring $1 billion, and they don't want that transaction to go wrong, and so on. So this is one of the problems. The boundaries are blurring, and that's, That was, in fact, one of the reasons that the Australian Cyber Security Centre, the ACSC, was set up in the first half of last year by Julia Gillard as Prime Minister to coordinate these roles. Because, of course, you know, naturally the Australian Signals Directorate, being part of the military, looks at things through a kind of military national security lens. The Australian Federal Police are, you know, fighting the crooks. The Australian Crime Commission is having, you know, looking at things in a different kind of way, looking for, you know, organised crime and financial fraud and so on. So pulling all these agencies in a location where they can have a conversation and pull in the private sector is kind of a good thing. And the coordinator of the ACSC said a few weeks ago that he'd actually invited about seven telcos and internet service providers in to say, okay, how do we go about working together? Just bear in mind everything that happens in this room is now classified, so we'll have that conversation. But, yeah, what do we do? So it's early stages.
Okay.
But,
interesting. Yeah. How should, you know, people listening to this that aren't, you know, running big corporations or businesses interpret this information? Because it is reported on with the relish of a real-life Bond film. You know, you look at the the Australian, the headline was, you know, spies warn we're under cyber attack. I think in the Sydney Morning Herald it was unrelenting cyber threats are rising. You know, and you talk about, you know, classified meetings and this is an declassified report. It's all very sexy for the newspapers, but I just wonder what should home internet users make of these sorts of warnings and this sort of information coming out?
For mine, the real message is that this is the new normal. And when I wrote about this for ZDNet, I kind of said, well, there actually isn't anything in this Australian report that is especially new. And they had said to us, you know, us who write about it and the security professionals who actually, you know, do the stuff, they said, look, there's nothing really new in this for you. This is just to emphasise that Australia is not somehow isolated from all of these threats. So the two key messages is, one, that there needs to be constant vigilance in the same way that, I don't know, a supermarket needs to be constantly aware of shoplifters, or a bank needs to be constantly aware that there might be a fraudster in their midst or something like that. But at the same time, it's not yet the end of the universe. And we look at that cost of $1 billion to Australia every year at the damage caused by cyber incidents. And that's everything from a bank getting hacked or the Prime Minister's email being hacked to you or me cleaning up a virus on our computer. It all adds up.
Sure.
But $1 billion in an economy with a GDP of $1.5 trillion, this is 0.15% of the GDP is spent on cleaning up the mess. So it's kind of $1 billion is behind the couch money almost to this. It's certainly, you know, shrinkage, as a department store manager would call it. You know, it's something to take seriously. $1 billion have come in handy with something else. But it's more that, so as I say that, I say, 0.15%, and people say, why do I bother? The answer is that if you are one of the people who are hit, your organisation could be hit very, very badly. The other year, about 2 years ago now, maybe last year, Four Corners had an episode on, you know, the ever-present Chinese hackers and economic espionage. And there was an Australian company that made mine detectors for detecting landmines that armies around the world were using out in the desert. And then suddenly they noticed they weren't getting the sales. Well, it turned out they'd been hacked. The plans for their mine detector had been stolen, and a company in China was making knockoff the, you know, fraction of the price.
Commercial and, espionage, effectively.
Yeah. And this blurs international security because it's widely believed that one of the reasons the Chinese Air Forces or the People's Liberation Army Air Force, their new stealth fighter, looks so similar to the American F-35...
Because it is?
Because it is, yeah.
Interesting.
Plans were stolen from the aircraft manufacturers several years ago in a thing called the Operation Aurora attack.
Yeah. So then, I mean, in a sense, we've got to, as a general public, reimagine the concept of a hacker away from being, someone sitting in a basement with four computer screens to it being corporate interests or governments or things like that as well.
Absolutely, Will. Yeah. We've the first generation of hackers were, 30 years ago to maybe 20 years ago. Yeah, they were curious people, smart and curious people, exploring the world, seeing what the internet could do, having some fun, maybe causing a bit of chaos. Then those guys started being hired by organized criminals, and many of them from Eastern Europe, but certainly not entirely. And so we got these waves of organized online crime, and that's all still going. But now the spies, the spooks have started getting in on this as well. And when you start looking at the profiles of the attacks on the defending side, you start looking at, when any program code is compiled in malware, it's got a timestamp of when this was manufactured and shows when people were working. And we start to notice that, hey, how come all this stuff is all being made during office hours Moscow time or during office hours Beijing time?
Yeah, yeah.
It's defense employees coming in doing a regular office job, and it's now just simply part of what they do.
Clock on, get the fighter jet plans. Still, thanks for your time, mate. It's
no
great getting
worries,
some perspective
Will.
On how, some context in which to consider the headlines that come out of the release of a report like this. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, well, look, Fisher, because these numbers are real and they're significant. And, the few people in corporate land who aren't paying attention to this yet probably need to pull their finger out.
Still Gehring, appreciate it.
Cheers,
mate. That's our IT security expert, Still Gehring, on the release of the inaugural Cybersecurity Threat to Australia report.